time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, we're on again. And I've got the Ridgedale ticket to give away. And because that's an event tomorrow. I don't know if you can arrange. Maybe you are going to go somewhere else tomorrow, but this is one ticket to the 18th annual 2020 Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction. And it will be out there on 309 this side of Brush Ridge, or Big Island, rather, not Brush Ridge. Big Island on 309. Dinner at 5, doors open at 4. And it's, believe me, if you go to that, you're going to have fun. And here I have a free ticket. Okay. And if you have to change plans, why, you know. Then I've got a 20-ounce smoothie yet. I've got, what else here? I've got three smoothies here. Four, actually, if I had to give them all away, or give one at a time. Okay, it's 16 minutes after 11 o'clock, and now we'll get to the Harding automobile story. And I am quoting things that I read in an earlier Telegraph Forum article that was on Facebook under Brian Underwood. If you use Brian's name, bring that up on Facebook, and then he's got the newspaper articles right there. You tap on them and you can enlarge them enough to read. And really interesting, he originally showed the grandfather of Charlie Sins spent his lifetime in Bucyrus, and he also shows Florence Harding's bequeath. She at one time had almost $500,000, but she ended up giving quite a bit of money to her son that she had, the DeWolf boy, who Charles DeWolf, died out in Texas or somewhere. She gave money to him and several others, and it's all there in that newspaper article you can read. Okay, so now here I'm talking about information in that Telegraph Forum article of 1920. Now, when Florence and Warren went to Washington as Warren as a senator, what did Florence do? They bought a home in Washington, I know that. But what did Florence do in the meantime? Now, she had one very wealthy friend, and I can't remember the name. And I've got a whole book written about Florence, written by Carl Anthony. And he came to Marion to see some of the sites that Florence would have been close to. But anyhow, it was interesting how she bequeathed the money she had. And it looks like none of it went to Warren G's people, but most to people that were friends of hers and so forth. Well, anyhow, the two of them, she and Warren, went to Washington when he was a senator, and eventually they bought a house. I got a sneeze. Where are these sneezes coming from? Well, anyhow, they bought a car and drove it to Washington when he became a senator. Now, can you tell me the name of the automobile that they bought to go to Washington in? And I don't know if he or she drove it, but they did have a driver, maybe? I don't know. But took that car to Washington. And there's more to it than that. I'll tell you the rest, but first I want to get the answer here. What was the make of the car the Hardings had to go to Washington in? What was the brand of car? And it was a kind of a classic car even then. This particular company started out making steam cars. No, it wasn't a Maxwell. But they started out making steam cars and then switched over to gasoline. And they made cars up until 1920-something, early 20s. But what was the brand that the Hardings bought to go to Washington in when he was a senator? Now, give me that answer, and you can have your choice of a Ridgedale ticket or smoothies. Yeah, I've got three smoothies here and the Ridgedale ticket. Now, if you know any of the answers, what brand of car did Warren and Florence drive to Washington when he became a senator? And they even, I don't know if they bought a house in Washington before he was president or when he was a senator. But they did have a very nice house they purchased there. In the meantime, their house here on Mount Vernon Avenue was occupied by others. They apparently rented it out or whatever. That will all come out, I'm sure, in the history of the Hardings. But what brand did they drive to Washington? here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was it channel for the Coast Guard, be channel 16?
Yes, channel 16. Hey, you're right on the ball.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I've got a Ridgedale ticket, or I've got a smoothie.
A smoothie.
Okay, now just a second here, and let me write down your... Okay, what is your name?
Mary Atkins.
Okay, I'll write that down here while I'm... Mary Atkins, okay... And we'll be open here till about 1:30 today.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, right down here, smoothie. Yeah, they do quite a bit of business. Okay. 2:14:20. Okay. All right. Put the smoothie there. Okay, I've got three more smoothies plus Ridgedale. Okay, now, can you name the car that they drove to Washington? Now, when they got to Washington, they drove that car quite a while, but then when he became president, they got a different car. I think this time the government furnished their car. But they still kept the one that they drove to Washington in when he was senator. They kept that there for the time being. 11:23 is the time. Okay, I don't have any car buffs here that remember reading about or whatever the Harding automobile that they drove to Washington. It's 11:24 right now. If I don't get an answer by 11:30, I will tell you. But then you won't have a chance to win a prize. Can you think of any cars that were built around that time? They started out in steam. No, it wasn't the Maxwell, though. There were a lot of companies that had steam cars. There was even a steam car made in Crawford County. I think it was a one-timer by Bill Merling. And that was something. It was quiet. And, you know, you didn't even hear it chug. But, boy, I tell you, it was fast. Ooh, my. But, well, getting back to Harding's, what was the brand? Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
Would that have been an Essex?
No, it wasn't.
Nope. Or a Hupmobile.
Yeah, no, nope. neither one. My dad had an Essex in 1928.
Yeah. My grandfather had one about that time.
Yeah, okay. My dad put me behind the wheel. It would have been 1930-something by then. And I remember steering that Essex.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Oh. I don't know. I never heard the story, so I was just guessing what was around at the time.
Okay, it has a very interesting ending.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be listening.
All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Charlie.
Okay. Oh, yes. So, if I don't get an answer to the make of the automobile by 11:30, why, I'll go to some other question. I'll tell you what. I had to sneeze again. What's making me sneeze? Strange. But every now and then when I... That's something. I normally don't sneeze when I'm here. I sneeze every morning when I eat breakfast cereal. And I always figured I was a little allergic to wheat. Because a lot of times if I eat toast or something, I got to sneeze. So, but why am I doing that this morning? There's nothing to eat here. I didn't even bring a snack with me. Okay. Oh, my. Oh, I've got a call coming in. Hang in there. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, was Harding's car a Ford, or is there an Edsel car or something like that?
Well, it wasn't a Ford, no. It was the second car. You just about got the name of it, I think.
It's not an Edison. There's one that starts with an E, and I can't think of it.
Oh, no, it wasn't, no. This car starts with, let me give you a hint here. It starts with an L. An L.
Yeah, I think I know, but I can't think of it. Okay. I'll think of it here.
Yeah, do that. Okay, fine.
Okay,
okay,
goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's and there's an interesting story about that car. Very interesting. In the fact that they drove it to Washington when he became senator, and it drove it to Washington. Our roads, we didn't have turnpikes then. We didn't have the quality of roads in 17 or 18, somewhere around there, the quality of roads. It must have been a bumpy ride all the way to Washington. Woo, wow. But they came back in that car. Florence came back to Marion in that car after her husband died. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Charlie, was that a LaSalle?
No, it wasn't LaSalle. No, I remember Lowe's.
Yeah. Later on, Ford came up with that name. It was the Lincoln LaSalle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm old enough, I remember the LaSalles.
Yeah.
I can picture one in my mind right now. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, starts with the letter L. And 11:29 is the time. In just a moment or two here, I'll tell you what the brand was. I thought maybe I could give away some more smoothies here in the meantime. But apparently that was such a long time ago. That was almost 100 years ago. Well, it was 100 years ago when they drove to Washington in that car. But when it came back, it was 1925. And 1129, we'll be right back. Hang in there.
Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Oh, okay, we're back on air, okay. And now let me tell you the name of that car. Ready? Locomobile. Locomobile. L-O-C-O-M-O-B-I-L-E. Locomobile. That's what Warren and Flossie bought. Oh, just a second here. Yes, caller, go ahead. Are you there? Nope. Okay. Strange. Caller? Okay, call me back. Okay, it was a locomobile. And they bought that car, and one of them, either Florence or Warren, drove it to Washington. Now, can you imagine the roads in the late 1900s? What the roads were like, I bet they bounced all over the place in that car. But it was a good car. Oh, boy. Locomobiles were a very fine automobile. They were made up until about 1924, 23, somewhere in there. And they started out as a steamer, a locomobile steam-operated car. But they found that wasn't as efficient as gasoline. And so they bought this locomobile that ran on gasoline. It had four speeds forward, of course, one in reverse. And it was kind of an open car. It probably had side curtains, but it had a fabric top and kind of an open touring car, really. So, but they had to button up the sides and the rear and everything when they drove it to Washington, because it might have rained. It would have taken them quite a while, and bounced all over the place. So that, and now I've got the rest of the story coming up here, too. Let me see if I can find it here. All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying. Okay. Now. So they had the locomobile, and then after he ran for president and was elected, the government apparently gave him a Pierce Arrow. Oh, that was a fancy car. Boy, you should have seen the, you can actually bring it up on the internet. It's in that one article I mentioned. It shows the radiator. It says AAA on it, like AAA. And very fancy, and he had that as president, a Pierce Arrow. I think Pierce Arrows maybe lasted a little longer than the locomobiles. Now, just a second, I've got to sneeze. Okay. Like I say, though, after they got to Washington and he became president, they apparently stored their locomobile somewhere and took up the Pierce Arrow. And quite quite an expensive car it was. Oh, my. Okay, so they're driving around Washington in their Pierce Arrow, and then Harding passes away, and they, of course, had to give up their Pierce Arrow because only the presidents had one. And so they turned it in, or she turned it in, and got their locomobile out of storage. Maybe she had driven it back to Marion in the meantime. I doubt it. But after they had to give up their Pierce Arrow, they stuck with the locomobile and drove it back to Marion in 1920. Well, it was right after his death. She had to leave Washington, of course, to take care of everything. So she got in the locomobile, and away she went back to Marion. All right, now, this is after Warren died, and she gets back to Marion, and I don't know, let's see, it was, apparently she was too sick to do anything. She had kidney problems galore, and so she took the locomobile and stored it at the Buick Garage in Marion. And the Buick Garage was located, well, do you know where it was located? I doubt it, because that was too long, that was over, well, it was about 100 years ago or so. The Harding, Buick Garage was located, just a second, I'm trying to find the, I wrote the address down here somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a large building on East Center. The address was 219 to 235 East Center. Okay, and that was 219 to 233 East Center, and that garage was in existence, I think, since about, well, before 1917. Somewhere around there. Look, okay, it was on East Center Street. Do any of you remember a Buick Garage on East Center? And once again, the address was 219 to 235. And that's when Florence, you know, she had so many kidney problems that she had to store her car, I think, in hopes that someday she'd be able to get back in it and drive it. I think she really liked it, or they'd have never brought it back from Washington. And I often wonder, too, there was no garage there at the Harding home. So obviously she didn't come back and live in the Harding home. I know she went to live with, room at least, at the Sawyer Sanitarium, where Dr. Charles Sawyer was Harding's physician. Of course, he wasn't a physician as we know today. He was a homeopath doctor, which, and homeopaths used elements out of, like the Indians used, things like that. He had cures for everything. However, Dr. Charles Sawyer was not, didn't allow anybody in the room with Harding. And Flossie didn't allow it either. Didn't allow a mortician come in and examine him. They made all medical people stay away. And often people wondered why did they do that. Both Charles Sawyer and Florence said, no one will get near the deceased president. And let alone have a mortician examine him to find out the real cause of death. Well, anyhow, so she has this car that she can't drive around Marion, and she stores it in the Buick Garage at 219 to 235. It was a big building. And one night, let me see, do I have the date down here? I've got the owner of the garage, was J.L. Price. And she stored the car in his garage, which had a lot of other cars stored in it or in there. Anyhow, it was a rather large building. And one night at 2 in the morning, people around there kept hearing bang, bang, you know, explosions. And they looked out their window, and lo and behold, the Buick dealership was on fire. And the individual cars that were in there were exploding. And you might know the one that exploded the loudest, or, well, that's just a parade. It exploded the locomobile that belonged to the Hardings that Florence brought back from Washington after Warren died. It was stored in that Buick garage at 219 to 235 East Center. Now, do any of you know where that location would have been? But anyhow, that ended, and I can't understand either. In the telegraph form, it lists the value of her car as $13,000. That doesn't sound like it could be real. But the fire itself was estimated at $200,000. So that was a big fire in 1925, I think it was, in downtown Mary, or out on East Center Street. What is there today where that building would have been? There's a good question. If you can answer that, I'll give you a ticket or here. I still have this Ridgedale ticket. I've got three smoothies left, and that's my story about Florence and her locomobile. They loved that car. It was an open car, you know, and they probably had button-up curtains they had to put in it to travel. Otherwise, it was just an open touring car. Locomobile. Now, you can look that up on the internet, or if you want to fine-tune my story, dial up, first of all, on Facebook, dial up Brian Underwood. Brian Underwood. And when he comes up on Facebook, you'll be able to tap on the pictures he put on there from the telegraph form, and you'll see more of the story I just told you. All right, so boy, it's 11:40, almost 11:42, and I just went through all my questions. Now what do I do? I got the Marine Channel 16, got that okay. And that's pretty good that a listener looked up and found the Coast Guard channel number is 16. Okay, and in that line, here I've got two questions. First of all, what is the frequency of the weather radio that covers Marion? The frequency of the weather radio that covers the Marion area. Now, the transmitter isn't in Marion. It's quite a distance from here. It's up on top of a hill. If you can tell me where that transmitter is located, or if you can tell me the frequency that you would tune your scanner into to pick up our weather radio for this area, let me know. 740-383-9944. It's almost 11:43. Time is flying. I hope you enjoyed the story about the locomobile that the Hardings had. Obviously, they just loved that car. And probably hated to give it up to drive that Pierce Arrow when he was president. I don't know. Oh, boy. That was something. But I think, wasn't it the day that Harding, they brought the unknown soldier's body and to the tomb of the unknown soldier, they had it ready, and I do believe that, didn't Harding walk from the White House to the Arlington Cemetery where it's, boy, that'd been, oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, the one I listen to is not really the one out of Butler. I listen to the one out of Cary.
Oh, okay. Did I say Butler?
They have one in Butler, too.
Yeah, right.
Because the one I listen
Sounds
to.
Like you're getting ready for breakfast.
Okay.
What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams
with
a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again. Ernie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
I listen to 162.525. Which,
oh, okay, yes.
You know,
out of Cary, right?
Yeah, which is a little west of us, and that's where it's coming from. So.
Yeah. And the other is at Butler, and I used to bicycle to Butler quite often.
Oh, yeah.
And I would look up on top of that hill and see that tower.
Yeah,
and
I've been through Butler a lot. A lot of times when we're going over to the Amish country.
Oh, sure.
We come back through Butler.
Exactly.
95 and
yep.
97. And,
yes.
And,
I was in Butler one day when they moved the church across the road, and it was a huge church. And they wrapped a wire around the house so it wouldn't fall apart when they moved it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's interesting to see.
Oh, it was interesting. My. Yep.
All right, Charlie.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Okay. All right, yeah. The weather radio, 162.45, is Butler. Okay, and there's a number of locations. I think 162.55 might be Columbus, but the weather radio people, NOAA people, say that they think that the one in Butler would be the one we'd listen to. But like Ernie said, Cary comes through good too, and then there's one up on Lake Erie you can pull up. Yeah, they're all over the place. Really handy, because they're pretty much up to the minute, although sometimes they're a little bit off. 11:47's the time, and how are you doing today? We've got all of our answers here. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let me see. Fasnacht on Shrove Tuesday. And we got the answer to when is Shrove Tuesday, and that's the 25th. And let me tell you, too, on let me look out at my book. I will have an astronaut on with me, Ray Seddon. She wrote a book that is in the Marion Public Library. It's a long book. I mean, a thick book. It's around 400 pages. And I've only gone through 100 of those already. I'm reading her book on becoming a female astronaut. And it's so interesting to see what she had to go through to earn her position as a female astronaut. Now, she wasn't the only one at the time. There were several others. But it's so interesting to read and listen, or to what she had to say about how close they were scrutinized, both physically and mentally, to become an astronaut. No simple thing whatsoever. As she talked about having to go to the bottom of a pool and bring a brick up to see if she could survive going that deep under the in the swimming pool, looking for a brick. But she did. She found it. And even though she was out of breath, she made it. And all kinds of tests like that. My, and she was dropped into the Gulf of Mexico and warned before they dropped her, please don't come out here with white shoes on, because sharks just love people in white shoes. Can you imagine being told that? It was okay as long as you left your white shoes at home, or sneakers, or whatever. But her story, and I've not got to the part of her story, and incidentally, she was in Marion with her husband, Hoot Gibson. Hoot Gibson. Okay, she was here at the airport with her husband, Hoot Gibson, and maybe you got your picture taken with them. And I hope so, because you'll want to hear her when she calls me on the 28th, and that will be at 10:20 in the morning. 10:20, she'll be calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, does Murfreesboro ring a bell? Wasn't there a large battle of some sort at Murfreesboro, Tennessee? But to listen to what, she was a physician and still is. She would do 100-hour weeks operating on people, mostly in, like in emergency cases. What would you call that? Trauma cases. And she describes very, with a lot of color, you might say, of cutting people up. And she said, well, they took out certain things they could do without and sewed them back up, and away they went. And she did sometimes, like I say, 100 hours a week of doing operations. And when her dad bought her a house, and I can't remember where it was, as a physician, she couldn't make the payments. He apparently secured the house, and she had to pay for it. And so she went to work again, operating on people, and to make some money, because she didn't earn that much as a would-be astronaut. But it's a great book, and if you want to read it, you could take it out to the Marion Public Library. They have a copy of it, and I think there's a copy, I don't know if it's at OSUM or someplace else. Really interesting reading material. And she talks about flying in a T-38 jet and breaking the sound barrier. Now, she wasn't the pilot. She was second in command. And she said she watched their altitude go from zero to way past 10,000 feet. And let's see. Well, yeah, that wouldn't have been much. It was 10... What was it? The speed of sound is 750 miles an hour. She broke that and could feel the T-38 kind of shudder when she went into the broke into the sound barrier and then broke out of it. Oh, run an interesting book. So she'll be talking to me on the 28th at 10:20 in the morning. And I'll be asking her some questions about her life as a three-time shuttle flyer. Yes, she flew three times, and I believe her husband was a flight, what was it called? I think he was in one six times. And she'll tell all about what it was like being in the space shuttle. So far, I've not got that far in the book, only her pre-training to become one of the female astronauts. But and she had to learn, and she, her main quest in life was as a physician and operating on people. And she had to go combine that with mechanical things. She had to study the aircraft industry and more or less what makes a plane fly and everything and all the intricacies involved in that. And so I hope you'll... Well, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
I don't know. Am I too late giving you a little help there? Hoot was number one. His first flight, he was a mission specialist, I believe, or maybe co-commander. But he had four other flights where he was the commander of the space shuttle. And Ray was the mission specialist on three of those. And I'm pretty sure they did not fly together.
Okay. Yeah, she had met Hoot Gibson, and she said he looked so dejected at this one point, and she asked him what was wrong. He said, well, he was just divorced. And so she married him. And they sure struck up a good relationship over the years.
Well, they're an interesting couple, and it was something to meet them.
Talk with
people who have left the planet.
And so, to hear her talk about all the operations she did, and she said it wasn't so much opening people up and taking things out of them until it came to the brain. She said at that point they didn't know what would happen when they operated on a brain, whether the person would be up speechless, sightless, or crippled, or dead.
But, you know, one thing you have to bear in mind, all astronauts, when they go on a mission, they're sitting on top of this bomb.
Oh, yeah.
That has been constructed by the lowest bidder.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, here's something else in that vein. She said that they were scrutinized so closely so that no one company or somebody would give them anything. They could not accept anything from anyone. But she said, and that's ironic because our congressman certainly did.
Yep, all the politicians, I guess that's why they run for office, all of the little goodies they can get.
Yeah, so she she could not get anything and until the time she was in Europe. And some deity, and I can't remember what it was, gave her a button. And then she said one of her astronaut friends, this was a male, he had this whole pocket full of stickers about NASA that he put on cars everywhere, including he snuck one in on this king or queen or ambassador in this foreign country.
Jeez.
Put it on his front windshield.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they do any more. NASA used to give the astronauts a Snoopy pin. And I don't know if that is still going on today or if they stopped it at some point. But I know that collectors look for those pins, like Buzz Aldrin, I think, had one, and some of the earlier astronauts, they had them, and they're worth thousands of dollars simply because they've been in space and all of that stuff.
Right, yeah.
So, but no, it's going to be an interesting interview with her. That's, what, 2 weeks from today?
Yes, yeah, 10:20 in the morning.
And there is a copy in the Marion Public Library of Ray's book.
Yeah,
it's called Go for Orbit.
About 400 pages.
It's a very well put together book, manufactured book.
Well, and let me tell you too. When she composed the manuscript, they laughed at it, and they said, you know, you got to put some pizzazz in that, and you can detect that in reading the book. All the adjectives that they added to her story. Really interesting.
Well, and it's won some awards, too.
Yes.
But the book, Go for Orbit, is at the Marion Public Library. And I don't know what the rules are for the OSU-MTC library, if that's accessible to the public or not. I would think it might be, but I would call before going out there. But if you're, you know, if there's anybody interested, you can get a copy of her book from her website, and then you can also get a copy, order one with an inscription.
Okay, for a gift. We're about to break, Terry.
Okay. All right. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye. Okay, yes, that concludes my program for today. I hope you enjoyed the Harding story and the locomobiles.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
No, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit. And she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, I'm not renewing a contract on the phone. I was like, well, it was a mistake. And she said, it was a big mistake. And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. And
I was there.
One day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the internet sites that says the first time she was there, she really liked Whoopi Goldberg, and this is her quote, Snooki. The person who wasn't nice to me the first time on The View was Joy Behar. Uh-huh. I was in the bathroom, and she goes, why are you pretending to be Italian? I don't get it. She was so nasty. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Do you don't like Snooki, huh?
No, she's fine. Let it go and be well. But that show, I thought The Jersey Shore, was not a particularly positive depiction of Italian-Americans.
Did you feel like you were being inquisitive, or do you feel you were being nasty, as she says?
No, I was not being nasty. She's overly sensitive. No one ever says that about me. That's the first time I've ever heard any guest say that I was not friendly to them. I'm always nice to everybody.
What was it like to sit next to Dick Cheney?
Uncomfortable.
Do you like a Jeb Bush or a Christie as far as, is that good competition for her or tough?
I think she can beat the pants off of both of them. But, you know, I mean, when Ted Cruz announced, everybody, the Democrats were like, oh, bring it on, baby. It's been nice talking to you.
Thank you, Joy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is a man who's had a long relationship with boxing. He is HBO boxing analyst, Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
I'm good,
You say you will be rooting for Pacquiao. Who's going to win? We're far out and things can happen, but if it was happening tomorrow, and you know they're going to be in shape.
Call me on May 1st.
And I will expect that night, Larry, if you're just there as a fan at about 1 a.m. to get a phone call from you.
If I'm sober and if it's over.